The general problem with prophecies in nature is that there's a lot of responsibility with the prophetic. How many of you know what I mean? How many of you want to prophesy? Raise up your hands. Just that's it. How many of you want the responsibility of the prophetic? Raise your hands. Let me, okay. I don't know how many of you were here for the New Year meeting. I mean, post New Year when I took the session, the second Sunday. There were a lot of stuff that I said. One of the things that I said was, for Japan, we need to pray because there is a national calamity coming from the sea. And 2 months ago, there was an earthquake coming from the seabed. And now there's the typhoon. So it's nice to give prophetic words, but the problem is there's a lot of work in the background. I spend hours praying against that. And I mean, thankfully have a network of believers who pray as well. So what I'm trying to say is when God speaks something, there's a responsibility for it as well. Amen?
Amen.
When there are spiritual gifts released, there is a responsibility for it. Not everything comes in a silver platter. Amen? There is a work to be done. And there is a lot of things. You know, it's a very fancy thing to say, hey, the word came to pass and all of that. But when it comes to destruction and all of that, you have to understand the responsibility lies in our hands. Because that's something that God gave us authority over. A simple example, when Moses was walking in the land of Egypt under the government of Pharaoh, do you know what God considered Moses as before to Pharaoh? Anyone? The Lord told unto Moses, you are like a god unto Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And the reason why some things the Lord tells us in advance, because we have a responsibility of stewarding the kingdom of God into our age. There's a word in Psalms, it says, you are the sons of God. And that's very true for all of us. But with the stigma of son of God, there's a lot of responsibility as well. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of responsibility that goes into sowing our ground and tearing it up until he brings forth what comes to pass. Amen?
Amen.
In line of that, today I want to touch on the series of, somehow this is becoming a series of spiritual languages and spiritual disciplines as well. How many of you are here for the last two sermons that I spoke on this topic, spiritual languages? Can you raise your hands? First of all, are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Am I boring you?
No.
No. Okay. Now, in line of that, I want to take a quick detour and also build on this topic of spiritual languages. Amen?
Amen.
Because I believe that even as we speak, one of the ways that the anointing is released is through the spoken word. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God, God has a way of reaching out to us without someone laying down their hands on us. Amen?
Amen.
I believe in the laying on of hands, but I also believe in the anointing of the spoken word. Amen?
Amen.
One of the glimpses that I kept having over here in this church is I kept on seeing uncle standing up on the platform, lifting his hands up together, and I kept on seeing the anointing come. But in order for us to, in order for that fulfillment of that, there is a responsibility for us as well. Amen?
Yep.
And I'm looking forward for that day.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's just pray. Can you stand and pray?
Yes.
It's a good exercise. Father, we just pray for a spirit of revelation today. A spirit of revelation, and we just pray, Father, reveal your truth in your goodness. I pray that, Father, I pray that even as I speak, even as the words are uttered, we pray that your spirit would be released upon your people, would bear fruit, O Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 And the church said,
Amen.
The church said,
Amen.
You can be seated. Now, I want to touch on what we sense that the Lord is doing in the church, and not just church. It limits us to say that this is what the Lord is doing in the church. I want to broaden that and say this is what I feel the Lord is doing in Parape, and this is what the Lord is doing in our families as well. Amen.
Yeah.
Now. One of the things that happened in the half-night prayer was there was an interpretation of tongues that was released. And there were a couple of words released on that. And I want to touch a little bit on that. Because when the interpretation was released, I felt like these are verses in the Bible right there somewhere. And can one of you take Isaiah 1 verse 18? Can Lynn take that portion, Isaiah 1 verse 18? Can someone else take Revelation 3 verse 15? Lynn, can you read your portion?
Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
So the one of the interesting and I use the term interesting in a very comical way. One of the interesting things about many Christians in this age is that they are waiting for their sanctification. How many of you get what I'm trying to say? They're waiting for their sanctification when Jesus did that 2,000 years back. Amen?
Amen.
And I love the fact that this is in the Old Testament where our perception is a God is an angry God. And then he's saying, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be what? Do you know how scarlet looks? It's a stained red. It's stained and it's dark and red. And he's saying, though they are like that, they will be as white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they may be like wool. Amen? So, the problem for our sanctification is that we're waiting for it. Okay, repeat after me. The problem for our sanctification is that we're waiting for it. When God told me, come. Amen? It is foolishness when he's invited me to come to him and invited me for a transformation and I'm waiting for him to come to me. Amen? How many of you know that God does not move by your orders? He's quite immovable in that aspect. But when he wants you to move, he's moved. But the amazing thing is, just that aspect of coming into him brings that whole transformation. Amen?
Amen.
Can someone read Revelation 3 verse 15 onwards?
I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other.
Go on.
So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth.
Go ahead. Until verse 20, go ahead.
You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me.
And the church said,
Amen.
Now, I absolutely believe that God is a good God. Amen. And even in these verses, how much ever any preacher would try to run away from this passage while preaching on a Sunday, there are evidences of God's goodness in this passage. You know, the word repentance has been misused so often. The actual meaning of the word repentance is restoring to the top order. Amen? Restoring to how it was originally created. Amen? And one of the words that we kept getting during half night prayer was, buy of me gold. Buy of me gold. It was an interpretation of tongues that kept coming. And post that again, it's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. So, there are these consistent words that we're receiving about how God wants to commune with us. And let me break that down in a very simple way without sounding spiritual. I feel like the Lord wants to come and be with us on a regular, persistent basis. Amen? Yes? And a lot of us are sensing this. We feel like we're about to enter into a season of shift. Where all we have to do is align ourselves before Him. There is that posturing that we have to do. There is that change that we have to do. How many of you know that when God wants to do something different, if I keep doing the same thing over and over again, what happens? I miss out.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's the worst thing that can happen, because what He wants to do is give us something that is from His goodness. Amen? And I feel like in this season, in order for us to survive in the season ahead of us, the Lord wants to establish something and start pouring out His Spirit to bring in a new work. Amen?
Amen.
And this is a corporate move, but it also has to do with our individual lives as well. Yes?
Yeah.
Are you here with me?
Yes,
sir. Now, okay, what do I mean by posturing? What do I mean by aligning? Let me give an easy example for that. When we were there in the church anniversary, you know, when the guest speaker spoke, how many of you were there for that? Yeah. So one of the words that was released over there was, the heavens are waiting. Okay. So what I did was, when that word came, I sat before the Lord and I asked, is this word applicable for me? Because you have to understand, when the heavens are waiting to release something, I get excited. I'm not going to just be seated in one place waiting for God to offer me something. Yes? And when He said, and I heard God tell me, how hungry are you? That for me is a slap to the face. So as soon as I heard that, my immediate response to God was a simple 40-day fast, where all of my time and devotion goes into aligning myself with Him. Now, I'm not telling you to go do a 40-day fast. Amen? If you're led for it, go for it. But my wife and I saw a lot of things breaking out on those 40 days. Interesting things. We saw heavens literally break through. In fact, Cherub was playing the keyboard and she heard the keys playing itself. How many of you know that's the new normal? Because He likes making music. Amen? Now, all I did was not take a 40-day fast. All I did in my heart was to posture myself and align myself for more. Was to humble myself and say, I cannot go ahead without you. I want something more of you. And in fact, I'm really not satisfied and I feel like going for another fast. not because I'm spiritual, but because I'm hungry. Amen?
Yeah.
And if you're saying, you know, my time is hard, it's not a time issue. It's an issue of first love. Yes?
Yeah.
It's not that our time, our work is so busy. I understand that many of us are working. When I was working, I had a very simple equation. Okay? So, I would have, say this after me, set times.
Set discipline times.
But in that discipline time, God has freedom to do anything He wants. Amen?
Amen.
And I would have set times already. It could be half an hour. But Friday nights were reserved for God. Because Friday is when? The weekend. So before I was a Christian, Friday nights are always nights going out to do something. So after I became Christian, I turned it into encounter nights where I would literally leave our house and go to another place and spend the entire night seeking the Lord. Could be anything. Could be whatever I felt like doing. Could be reading the Bible, worshipping, or could be even praying. But that portion, I was unavailable to man. And I would tell my parents, I'm going there, don't disturb me. And I would wake up Saturday morning, go back home, refreshed, full of fire. And I had a 50-hour work week. Amen? So it is possible to seek God. It is just, it's not an issue of, I'm too busy. It's an issue of, you know, where are your priorities right now? And I feel like in a lot of our careers and a lot of things that we do, the Lord wants to pour out something into our lives that will reflect into everything. Because we're anticipating a move of God to come that has a crescendo effect upon our work, upon our family, upon our marriages. You know that's good news, right?
Yeah.
When you hear good news, you can say amen. Amen,
amen
is not a bad word. Amen?
Amen.
But the problem with a word like that is there is responsibility as well. And I want to be very cautious of that because I want us as a church to not miss out because I feel like this is something that God is doing in Parape.
Yeah.
And trust me on this, if you go to other churches, they're all getting prepared for something.
Yeah.
The other churches nearby, everyone, they're all getting prepared. Now the problem with getting a word like this, saying prepare yourselves in this, even with me, is something that God had to correct in me. It's easy to point the finger to someone else and say, because of them we're not moving forward. How many of you get what I'm trying to say? How many of you know that you know Jesus better than someone else? Yes? True. But how many of you know with that comes love for the person, not I am better than you? True, right? And one of the words that God gave in the half night prayer was it starts with you. What I'm about to do starts with you. Keep your hand on your chest and repeat after me. It starts with me, not my neighbor.
Me.
Amen?
Amen.
In the process of changing lives or in anything that involves changing our lives, we find that our own lives end up being changed in the process.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I know one thing for sure, anyone who properly aligns themselves for it will catch it. Now what I mean by visitation, I'm not talking the release of gift of tongues, I'm not talking about the release of interpretation or prophecy and that. For me, that's breadcrumbs for the table. That's not a big thing for me. I'm talking about a work being released that has its effects on generations. That the land can literally receive of and bear fruit of.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
How many of you know the earth also groans? Amen. So we have a responsibility, all of us. And my urge and my humble request to all of us as a church do something different. That shows your hunger.
Yeah.
Amen? Have a set time. If there are couples, have set times when your children go to sleep. But also have times when you can seek the Lord. Amen? Even if it's half an hour, it's fine. I'm not telling you, I now have the grace to do a 40-day fast, so I'm making the best use of it. I did not have that opportunity when I was working full-time. Whatever you can do within your ability. See, if you're a student, no excuses. Amen?
Amen.
Don't tell me you're busy. That doesn't work. You're like the freest of all of us. True, right? How many of you are understanding what I'm trying to say? Because in this season, we have to learn to align ourselves and posture ourselves differently. If you can spend more time worshiping, or if you can spend more time properly praying, please invest your time. Because the heavens are waiting. We are not waiting. The heavens are waiting. Amen?
Amen.
It's imperative that we understand that. The heavens are waiting, not us. And this is an effect that liberates everything. Amen?
Amen.
One move of God can literally decimate every work of the enemy in our lives.
Amen.
I've seen moves of God comes and people having land issues in what took years in a week sorted out. Because it has a crescendo effect. But at the same time, I've seen people with issues with their parents for years. With one move of God, they reconciled. Amen?
Amen?
And there are some of us very awkward and do not like entering into areas like that. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Where we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness, and when we run away from our homes. But God has that place in the heart, and God wants that peace of your heart as well. And we have to prepare ourselves for it. We have to prepare ourselves. Is there any place in my life where there's bitterness or unforgiveness or any kind of hurt? We have to prepare ourselves for that. Because He wants to give true liberty of our hearts. Simply because we would love each one as He loves us. If I'm putting you to sleep, say amen. Wow, that's a first. Amen. Okay, so all of that was in the context of what I sense the Lord is doing over here. Amen. And I would, if, how many of you want to practice spiritual gifts? Raise your hands. Please come for the prayer meetings. Okay, because it's the easiest platform to do it. Right? I mean, it's a safe environment to do it. Do you know one mandatory rule that I have when I teach people moving in spiritual gifts or hearing God? You know what the rule is? You have to fail in it. And it's better to fail in an environment like this than when you have to make drastic life change, life decisions. Amen? How many of you get what I'm trying to say? Okay. So that's in line with what I feel about the Lord is doing. And now I'm heading into my message for now. Are you happy?
Yes.
So in line of what we've been speaking, I've noticed that in my life through the past 3 years, there's a lot of relearning that I'm doing. And there's a lot of unlearning that I'm doing about even the gospel. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me ask you a simple question. And this absolutely has to do with hearing God. This absolutely has to do with us walking with God. Amen. Do you know that I've recently stopped praying, God please be with me when I go out. How many of us pray that? Be with us when you go in and come out. And there's this thought in my head, how can someone who lives in me, how can I say, tell someone who lives in me, be with me when I go out? Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It takes revelation to understand that He lives and abides in me. And it takes a whole difference to say, I thank You that You are in me. Because You are in me, my ways will prosper. Even as I head out. That's based on scripture. The other one is based on, I don't know if God is with me or not. Yes?
Yeah.
So a lot of our Christian life changes when we have proper revelation. Revelation is applied. Information expands your head. Amen? And makes you a person who think you know Jesus better than anyone else. That's a dangerous place to be. Amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you here with me?
Yes.
Now, a simple question to everyone here is a Christian, right?
Yes.
Is there anyone here who is not a Christian? Why did Jesus come? If you're not going to say anything, I'm just going to stand here until 11 o'clock. So for the sake of Uncle, please open your mouth. Why did Jesus come?
To save the sinners.
To save the sinners. Okay, then? Anything else?
To seek and to save the lost.
To seek and to save the lost.
To give us abundant life.
To give us abundant life. To bridge the gap. Okay. Okay, interesting. What is the most popular verse in the Bible?
John 3:16.
What does it say?
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
One of my questions for the past, you know, when I was relearning this was, do I actually have eternal life? Does my life actually reflect it? One of the primary pursuit of why Jesus came, one of His main mission, Jesus did not, you know, get this clear in your heads. Jesus did not come to die for us. That's the means by which He accomplished what His purpose was. His purpose was John 10:10. Can we read that? Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Can we read it together? One, two, go.
The thief does not come to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have more abundance.
I've been talking this to a lot of people recently. One of the primary purpose of the enemy is to put on his characteristics and deceive us in saying it's what the Father is doing. Okay, let me repeat that. One of the assignments that the enemy has is to imprint his characteristics and deceive us into thinking that's the Father. So from here, what is the enemy's assignment? To steal, kill, and destroy. His assignment is to delude us into thinking it is because of the Father has abandoned me, this is stolen. It is because the Father is not here, this is destroyed. It is because I am away from the Father, I am experiencing this. How many of you know that's a lie?
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because He's the Father of lives.
Yeah.
But the nature of the Father and the nature of Jesus is life and life abundant. And this verse is very weird. It's like, it says that they might have life and they might have more life. What is that? No, really, what is that? Why can't He just say that they might have life? Why does He say life and more life? Why is Jesus confusing us? Now, before we go ahead, We have to have the understanding and repent on the way our mind thinks on who the Father is. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say,
the Father
is not an angry old man waiting upstairs. Amen? And the Father does not have a gray beard. Amen? He is spirit. And he is good.
And he
is happy.
And he
laughs.
And he
sings. It takes a repentant and a renewed mind to know that.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to know how the Father is, Jesus simply said, when you see me, you see the Father. So he came to reveal the Father. So if there's anything in our prayer list where we say, God, you have abandoned me, you've entertained a lie in your head. And that is a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
Because just because of entertaining that lie, you lose access to the Father. Amen? Are you here with me? Okay. Now, life and have it more, and have more life. And John 3:16 says what?
Eternal life.
Now, what is this eternal life? Now, when does this eternal life begin? Do I need to die for my eternal life to begin?
No, Jesus died.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, John 17 verse 3. This is all in context with what Jesus has done for us.
This is eternal life, that they may know you.
Say, no.
No.
This. Repeat after me. This is eternal life.
That
they might know.
That they might know.
You.
You.
Okay, now I'm going to explain what that word know means. Okay, repeat after me. The word know over there. The word know over there.
The word know over there.
Means to know.
To
perceive,
recognize,
become acquainted with, and understand. I have an amazing revelation to give you. Can I share it? You don't have to die to know God. You don't have to die to go up to heaven to know God. In fact, you know, we've been having, even when today Cherub was singing, you know, Spirit Fall on Us, I feel like the age is coming, and it's coming soon, where the songs is not going to be Fall on Us. The song is going to be God saying, come up here.
Yeah.
And we better get ready for it, because there are people already doing it.
Yeah.
Because the age and the season for waiting for an outpouring is draining out. And the season for the manifested sons of God who walk full of Him are at hand.
Amen.
And all of this is to prepare for that. I can expound on that, but we can go. I'll go somewhere else. Now, let's stay in line for it, in line of what we are speaking on today. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you. So, it's eternal life to know God and to know Jesus. Now go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now connect this verse and connect John 17 verse 3. Can I rephrase it? For God so loved the world, repeat after me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He who has a mouth, open it. For God so loved the world.
For God so loved the world.
That He gave His only begotten Son.
That
whoever believes in Him.
Should not perish.
But have everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
Knowing my Father.
Knowing my Father.
And knowing me who I am sent. knowing Jesus who is sent from the Father.
Yeah.
That is eternal life.
Amen.
If your Christianity does not involve in experientially through an experience knowing God, that is not Christianity. You're entertaining a religious thing. How many of you know good theology that robs you of an experience of God is rooted in the spirit of religion? Amen?
Amen.
Good theology that is rooted, that robs you of an experience with God, is based on religion. But throughout scriptures, when you see Jesus, He is always inviting us into something. He is always telling us, I am the living bread, eat of me. I am the living water, drink. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. That's the language consistently that's there. He is always inviting us to come and partake with Him. It's an experience. Amen?
Amen.
If it's not an experience for you, prepare yourself because it's going to be an experience.
Amen.
So, when I'm sitting over there, when I hear a word like that, I normally get up and say, Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Now, that they might have life and have more life. What does that more life mean? Can I talk a bit on that? Yes? How many of you know the fact that Jesus was begotten twice? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, what is begotten? Can you say it loud? Born. Yes. How many of you know that Jesus was born twice? When was He born the first time? The manger. When was He born the second time? Acts chapter 13 verses 33. When you're there, say, I'm there. Are you there? Can we read it together? One, two, go. Can you read it louder?
God has fulfilled this for us, their children.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, just one person read.
God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that He has raised up Jesus, as it is written, also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you.
So, in His resurrection, God says, and God connects it with the Psalm, and He says, today I have begotten you. How many of you know one of the terms for Jesus is He's the firstborn of the what? Firstborn of the dead. There's another term. The firstborn of the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Are you aware of it? Good news. You're aware of it now. Colossians 1 verse 18. Can someone read that?
And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence.
Amen. Amen. He is the firstborn from the dead. Okay? If He is the firstborn, I'm following after Him.
Yeah.
That is what means to be born again. To be born after Him. Now, it is why this is very imperative is you have to understand, for us, especially us, our identity comes not from the cross. It comes from the resurrection. Firstborn from the dead. All of us follow through it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, He's saying that they might have life and have more life. What does that more life mean? Can you read the next verse in Colossians?
Therefore,
Colossians 1 verse 19.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell.
Go ahead.
And by him to reconcile all things to him, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross.
Amen. So, what is in Jesus the firstborn of the dead? Through that verse. Are you here, church?
Yes.
So what is in Jesus? The fullness of what? The Godhead. So the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Say this. The fullness, of the Godhead,
Dwells in Jesus.
And he's the firstborn of the dead.
And he's the firstborn.
Now, what is different about Jesus? How is his anointing different from every single person anointed in the Bible? Have you ever thought of that? When you thought, okay, what does this name mean? Jesus Christ. What does that name mean?
Savior.
Savior? What does Christ mean? The anointed one. But how is his anointing different from even Joshua? How is his anointing different from Moses? How is his anointing different from every single person? Have you thought of that? Everyone in the Bible is anointed. How is this person, Jesus, different? Hello? And why is it that only he has the access for the fullness of the Godhead to dwell bodily? Why not the others? Repeat this after me. It's a good thing to ask questions. Amen? That's how we get answers. That's how we get revelations. Amen? John 3. Verse 34. John 3 verse 34.
For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand.
Say this after me. Jesus
had
a Spirit without measure. He had a measureless measure. He had no limitations to what the Spirit of God was upon him. His anointing was very drastically different. Amen?
Amen?
That is why Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, was such a big deal to the Jews. Because he had a measure with him that could not be limited. Not like Moses, not like any other person in the Bible. Say this out there.
No limitations
to what Jesus could carry.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, Yanako Adhika Yana Samando. What does that have to do with me? Yes? No? Is Jesus just there? He did this thing and I'm going to do my thing? Are you happy?
Yes.
You know, once I learned a couple of things in the scripture, when I minister, I stop saying certain things. I don't know if people don't normally notice this. I don't even think cherubs picked up on this. I stop using the phrase, give your life to Jesus. Now that's such an absurd thing to say. Right? When I read Ephesians 2 verse 1, how many of you read Ephesians? How many of you are part of the Bible study? What does Ephesians 2 verse 1 says? And you who made alive, who were dead in your sin and trespasses. So I'm like, I'm dead. What life can I give you? Hello? See, the gospel, repeat this after me. The gospel is not me giving my life to Jesus. My life is dead anyway. The gospel Repeat this after me. The gospel is receiving Jesus' life into me. Now that's a whole different ballgame. Amen? It took me years to understand that. And I don't hear it preaching in the church. Because and the problem with giving God a dead life is I'm expecting Him to conform to His dead life. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm giving Him my old nature, and I'm like, God, your life. And He's like, no. How many of you know that God does not need your life? Amen. Why did He die then? How many of you know that the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, everyone should know this, I have been
crucified with Christ.
It is?
No longer I, but Christ lives in me.
Oh, really? True, right? It is no longer I who live. It is no longer my life that is functioning in me, but the life of Christ that's functioning in me. And the life that I live in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the actual rendering of that verse. Now think through what Jesus means. I have come to give them life and more life. Okay, so let me simplify it. Jesus walked on the earth with a sinless life. Okay, and in that life he did signs and wonders and glorious things. And he died and rose again. And in that life which he rose again, he ascended up to the highest of heavens. And guess what? That life is given to us. So when I hear something like that, and when I'm sitting down there, I say amen. How many of you know that is the gospel? Amen?
Yeah.
Whenever I hear someone saying, you know, God, use this thing in me, use my strength and this and this and this. Trust me, when it comes to the supernatural, God does not need your strengths. God does not need your ability to play the guitar. God does not need your ability to write. God does not need your ability to even preach a message. God needs His life in you to do what He says He'll do.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
That's the gospel. And I'm still relearning it and applying it in my life. And I'm seeing glimpses of that coming out of my life. Amen?
Amen.
Say this after me. The greatest,
deliverance
for a Christian
comes
when his ignorance
is revealed.
Amen. Now, I mean, practically think, because I've been years as a Christian, I've been like, God, there's this nature in me, I'm not able to stop doing this, I'm not able to stop thinking this, I'm not able to stop thinking this. And God's like, why? Stop living your life, live my life. That's what it means to identify with this crucifixion.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
And it comes in living with His life.
Yeah.
Now to live with His life is what I need His Spirit for.
Yeah.
And the glorious thing is, because Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, and because Jesus has gone ahead of all of us, guess what all of us have access to? A Spirit without measure. It took me years to learn this. Say this. I have access
to a Spirit
without measure.
Without measure.
Because Jesus made that way for me.
Amen.
And when we have all of this truth, for us to settle and find it a hard time to pray when He's done so much, does not make sense. True, right? Yes? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
We really need a revelation of the assignment of Jesus. Especially the church now. We really need a revelation of what the gospel actually is. Because there are too many Christians still crucifying themselves with their old nature. Hello?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus has offered himself for us to live the way he's lived. Yes? I have a friend. He has a statement which I 100% agree with. He says, we as Christians may not speak a lot of lies, but we sing a lot of lies. What do I mean by that? Cherub came yesterday and she's like, I'm going to sing a song. And I'm like, oh. So she says, I feel like singing I Surrender. And trust me, that's one song I hate. And I know everyone sings it. My problem is not the song. My problem is the attitude in which the song is sung in. What do I mean by that? Can someone take 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20? Yeah, go ahead. Are you there? Auntie, go ahead.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price.
Say this after me.
You are
bought with a price.
At a price.
Go ahead, Auntie.
Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
So, I have this phone. I bought it with a price. Can this phone come and tell me I surrender? Yeah? Now, you know, we do sing a lot of lies. And I'm not attacking the song. The song is beautiful. And the reason why that person wrote the song would be a completely different reason to what you're singing it right now. But true revelation will dictate you to say, he has bought me with a price. I am his possession.
Amen.
There is nothing that I need to worry about.
Yeah.
Because I am his possession, he will sustain me.
Yes.
He will clothe me. And I do not need to worry about anything or about the food I need or about the clothes to wear or even about my home. Because he has bought me.
Amen.
And it is his responsibility for him to sustain me. Amen?
Amen.
If we sing songs of that, I will sing with you. So when I realized all of that, my song changed. I think I shared this before. It was no longer I surrender all. It was I receive it all. All from thee, my precious Savior, I receive it all.
Amen.
And I found that that had more revelation to what the Bible was saying. Because, say this after me. The fullness of God is what he wants me to receive from.
Amen.
It's a spirit without measure. And with Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. Okay, let me quickly go into... I don't think I can teach much today. Ephesians 1 verses 22-23.
And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Amen. So who is his body?
Church.
The church. So who is his church?
Me.
So you're apparently the place where which his fullness fills all in all. Now, why is this not happening? It's good. It is good. Repeat this up.
It is good
to ask questions. Only then we'll have answers. In your passport that you hold, in your identity picture, is your body shown or is your head shown? Your face, right? In the church, whose face is shown? Whose? One of the problems with the church today is we're inviting too many people to the church, we're not inviting them to Jesus. Amen? Let me repeat that. The church is not a place of a refuge. Jesus is a place of refuge. The church is not a place where life is transformed. Jesus is the one who transforms life. Amen?
Amen.
And when he is head, that automatically transcends down. Because his fullness overflows. Amen?
Amen.
And what do I mean by the church? If you're a family of four, you're the church. Because wherever the head is, there is his body. Cherub and I were the church. This four walls, it's a limiting thing to say this four walls is the church. No, 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 no. Wherever Jesus is head and there's something underneath that head, that's the body. Amen?
Amen.
Harvesting families are the church. Not just harvesting. Are you happy?
Yes.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
Colossians 2 verse 9.
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
The next verse.
And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
Say this after me.
He completes me.
Amen?
Amen.
How is he completing me? What's the previous word says? In him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. What's the next verse? And you are complete in him. So what are you complete in? Say this. I am complete
in the fullness of him.
Amen?
Amen.
It is only in the fullness of him his life changed. Yes? One of my favorite verses, John 1 verse 16, where it says, of his fullness, we've received grace after grace. Not of him, of his fullness. And there's another verse in I think it's 1 Peter, where it says, his divine power has granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Are you here with me?
Yes.
There are a whole realm of promises that are yet to be tapped in because we're still asking God to live with our lives. But he's like, I have my fullness and that's what I sent my son for. Amen?
Amen.
And it's that fullness that transforms us. Say this after me. It is that fullness
that transforms us.
And in order for me to access all of that fullness. Okay, the fullness of God, that's the gospel. That they might have life and life more abundant. I hope you're able to get what I've been trying to teach now.
Yeah.
And that life and life abundant is that spirit without measure, is that fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily. How many of you know the Godhead desires to dwell in you? Right? Are you aware of that? How many of you know that Jesus wants to come and make his home in you? How many of you know the Father wants to come and make his home in you? How many of you know this is not a promise, it's a reality? Amen? John 14 verse 27, I'll end with that.
I need to give, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it, not, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you.
Okay. So in order for me to access all of peace and everything, who helps me this assignment? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All that we've talked about so far, the authentic gospel, everything, all of that is useless without the Holy Spirit. And in order for me to function with the Holy Spirit, that's where the spiritual language is. The discipline of it makes sense. Amen? Can you stand? Father, we just pray that we would grow as a body, and I ask for grace. I ask for newness of your life. And Father, I just ask what it means. I ask that you would show us what it means for us to walk in your fullness. Lord, I thank you that you've invited us to sit at the table and eat the bread. Give us the grace and help us to see that we're not called for the breadcrumbs of the table.
Yes.
But we're called to be a part of the table.